Please turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to read verses 14 to 17. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. We continue on in Matthew's Gospel. We continue on in the record of Christ's miracles that are recorded for us in chapters 8 and 9. And this evening, in chapter 8, 14 to 17, we have described for us two scenes. First, the specific healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Before then, the much more general description of the healing and transformation of a great crowd. Two scenes, both revealing Christ as the great healer. And we've seen this before over the last couple of weeks, haven't we? At the start of chapter 8, we saw Jesus reach out to a leper and wonderfully heal him of that awful disease. Last week, in verses 5 to 13, it was the socially distanced healing of the centurion's servant. Amazing. And remember, in the eyes of a Jewish audience, both a leper and a Gentile centurion would have been considered the bottom rung of the Jewish social ladder. But women were not considered much higher. In fact, it's reported that when Pharisees prayed, they always gave thanks to God for three specific things. One, God, thank you that I am a Jew, not a Gentile. Two, God, thank you that I am free, not a slave. Three, God, thank you I am a man, not a woman. They had a very low view of women. And Matthew, who was originally writing for a largely Jewish readership, he describes how Jesus, in the presence of a mainly Jewish audience, demonstrates the enormous breadth of the grace of God. And in our passage this evening, we find Jesus once again defying all expectations, breaking all the norms, bringing change and transformation to all kinds of people, including a woman. Here he enters Peter's house, sees Peter's mother-in-law, sick with a fever. With a touch, he heals her. It was something banned for men by some Jewish traditions. He touches a woman. In fact, he touches a woman with a fever. Don Carson tells us, touching anyone with a fever would have left you ceremonially unclean. It's the radical, revolutionary grace of God. And later that evening, we find Jesus healing all the sick, all who were brought to him. And maybe you're here or sitting this evening, and as you consider these miracles, perhaps you're living with an illness of your own, some health issue which you would desperately want delivered from, perhaps. It could be coronavirus. It could be cancer. It could be dementia. It could be diabetes. It could be Crohn's disease. It could be heart disease. What about healing for you? Or what about healing for your loved one? If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why do we not see more of the kind of Matthew 8 healings in our lives today. And as I raise these questions, friends, I am conscious these are big issues for many of you, and in some cases they are life and death issues. And one of the limitations, do you understand, one of the limitations of preaching to a camera is not being able to look you in the eye with the understanding that I know for many of you, sickness, disease and illness is all too real. And to some degree, you don't need reminded of your illness. Every day reminds you of it. And I'm conscious too that I speak as someone who thus far, by the grace of God, I've been largely spared physical suffering. I don't pretend to speak into your situation as someone who's been there and worn the t-shirt, because I haven't. But it's as a servant of God, from the Word of God, under the authority of God, that I seek to speak sensitively and sympathetically into whatever your situation may be. And I want to say three things this evening. Firstly, recognize Jesus can bring healing. Recognize Jesus can bring healing. And this hits us square between the eyes here, doesn't it? Jesus can heal. Peter's mother-in-law has a fever. She's evidently confined to the sick bed. It may well be her situation is in fact very serious. Even today, if you ask the doctor about a problem, particularly in children, they will ask something like, do they have a fever? Are they running a temperature? But in Jesus' day, a fever wasn't just a symptom of something being wrong. It was wrong. It was a serious disease in and of itself. Into this house comes Jesus, and all he does is touch this lady's hand, and the fever left her. His authority over illness and disease is so powerful that with a touch, she's instantly, immediately restored to health and strength. She's able to be up and about. And it's clear the word spreads quickly. By the evening, the house is transformed into the most wonderful, the most effective A&E department the world has ever seen. Mark tells us that by the end of the day, the whole city had gathered together at the door, bringing their needs, their ailments to Jesus. And he heals them all. Whatever the need was, he met it completely. If anyone came to him demon-possessed, he cast it out. If they had a fever, he lifted the fever from them. If they were paralyzed, he took their paralysis away. If they were blind, he gave them sight. If they were deaf, he sent them away hearing. If they were full of leprosy, he sent them away clean. He laid hands on each one. He met each one's needs uniquely and perfectly. And if you are alive and breathing this evening, and I trust you are, you should know your life story is full of example upon example of Jesus doing the same for you. And we all know what it's like in our lives to have been unwell to varying degrees. Some of you seriously unwell. And all of us in our lives can say that we too, from one degree to another, like these people, we have had health restored. No matter how bad things might be at present for you, if you're honest with yourself, that has been your experience on many, many times. God has restored you to a measure of health and strength. And it's not just down to the wonders of modern medicine or skillful surgeons. Healing ultimately comes to us from Christ. Granted, he may not normally heal the same way today as he did then, but whether by prescription or by paramedic, we must understand, friends, physical healing any physical healing we enjoy is of God. We worship the one from whom all blessings flow. And that's why we pray for the sick. That's why we appeal to the Lord for healing when we're unwell. That's why we seek His blessing upon our doctors and our surgeons and our treatment plans. Because Jesus has the authority. He has the ability to heal. And do listen to what Matthew says in verse 17 about Christ's ministry of healing. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. That's an extraordinary thing to say. He quotes Isaiah 53, the great chapter in the Old Testament that points so clearly to the cross. And here Matthew associates the cross to not only bringing spiritual blessing to us, but physical blessing too. Jesus literally came to take our illnesses and our sicknesses. Now we should be careful here because this is a favourite verse for faith healers. They claim that because of this verse, we can expect immediate healing of any disease, and as if it says that Christians shouldn't be ill at all, and if they are, it's their own fault for not exercising enough faith. And that's an extremely dangerous position to hold, and it's a cruel, heartless position. But the danger for many of us is swinging the pendulum to the opposite extreme and thinking, well, the cross, that only applies to the spiritual. It only addresses us as spiritual beings. But you see, when Christ died for sinners, He died to save us from the penalty of sin, from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin, but also the effects of sin. The effects of sin. I mean, where does all sickness and pain come from? From sin. The moment our first parents sinned in the garden, sickness and illness and weakness entered into human experience. There's sickness in the world because there's sin in the world. And in that sense, the work of Christ on the cross does address our physical illnesses. Because when He paid for the penalty for our sin, He dealt with the root issue behind sickness and illness. He dealt with the sin problem. He's the full, complete Saviour who died to save us completely, body and soul. And this is what Matthew was seeing firsthand in Christ's healing ministry. It wasn't just a demonstration of authority and power, it was a foretaste of the full, complete salvation provided at the cross. So let's realize Jesus can bring healing sovereignly, supernaturally. And by all means, in a time of sickness and illness, we should pray to Him for healing. He is the great physician. And in extreme situations, it is entirely right to apply James 5 verse 14 and call for the elders to come and pray over you with a view to Christ bringing healing to you. Always praying submissively, humbly presenting our case before Him that He might restore. Because we recognize Jesus can bring healing. The gospel accounts are full of it. And you know, so is the life and work of our congregation. There's case after case of us bringing someone in sickness before God, and God wonderfully and even miraculously granting healing. So let's recognize Jesus can bring healing. But let's consider secondly, realize he sometimes withholds healing. He sometimes withholds healing. These verses, we have Jesus healing not just Peter's mother-in-law, but a whole crowd of individuals. Not just a selected handful of others, but as we read at the end of verse 16, all who were sick. There was no case presented to Jesus that was too hard. No request he refused. No circumstance too complex. We don't know how many healings are summed up in these words. It could be hundreds and hundreds. A myriad of needs, and he heals them all. Every last one receives instant, immediate healing. And yet today, we bring people to Christ for healing. We bring ourselves for healing. We bring ourselves for relief from illness and disease. Sometimes he grants us what we so earnestly long for, and he heals quickly and immediately, either through medicine or through a miracle that's got no scientific explanation, and healing is given. But not always. Not always. Sometimes he heals after many months or years. But not always. Sometimes his cure is only in part, or it's a temporary relief. A relief from side effects maybe, or a period of remission perhaps. Not always. Other times, he withholds healing completely. And there are times when he doesn't cure us at all. And sometimes, in fact, he uses the illness to bring our lives to an end. That is to say, we look at these events of Matthew 8, and we look at the events of our lives, as if to say, God does not always appear to respond to our prayers for healing in the same way as then. Oh yes, we praise him for giving us the grace to bear it. We praise him that we can be strengthened, that we know that he's with us in it. But we must all realize, sometimes he withholds healing. It seems so different from how it was here in Matthew 8. And we ask ourselves, why? Why does he at times withhold healing? Well, there's much that could be said on the subject. One thing could be said, perhaps, is that Jesus' ministry was not always like this. He didn't heal every single person he came into contact with. He administered lots of healings, but it wasn't a blanket healing upon every single person everywhere. And there we should see a difference too in Jesus, in the incarnate Lord Jesus walking here on earth and his ministry now in heaven. Not exactly the same. Much has been said on this subject. Let me share two helpful truths, two truths I find helpful in regards to God withholding healing. The first is this. The withholding of healing is only ever for good reasons. The withholding of healing is only ever for good reasons. Friends, our faith needs to take firm hold of this truth. The withholding of any healing in our lives or the lives of a loved one is only ever for good reasons. We may not be able to know what those reasons are, but they are always good reasons. Because we know the character of the one who has both ordained our sickness and has withheld the healing of it. We know what kind of God he is. He's unchanging. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present. He's all-powerful. He's holy. He's loving. He's patient. He's good. He's wise. He's gracious. That's been one of the great blessings, hasn't it? At the minute of working our way through the attributes of God in our morning services. He's never unkind. He's never cruel. He's never uncaring. We don't always need to know the reasons why. We know him. And that should be enough. To know him is to love him. To know him is to trust him. And we should know the withholding of healing, it's only ever for good reasons. And then a second thing, the withholding of healing, it's only ever for a time. It's only ever for a time. Friends, there is coming a day when we will be delivered completely from this sinning, sick, dying body. A day described in Revelation when he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. And a withholding of healing now, it's only for a time, only for short term. And surely that's one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian. One of the great resurrection hopes we have. When Jesus returns, and we pray he will soon, our bodies, whether we're living or whether we're dead, they shall be completely and utterly transformed. We'll be given glorious resurrection bodies that'll never get sore. They'll never be sick. No wheelchairs needed. No painkillers needed. No pacemaker needed. No blood thinners needed. No hip replacement needed. No glasses, no plasters, no fillings, no hearing aids needed. No scars, no stretch marks, no sore bits at all. We'll have a resurrection body in which we will never suffer and never be sick to all eternity. Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. For the Christian, the withholding of healing is only ever for a time. So we realize he sometimes withholds healing, only ever for good reasons, and only ever for a time. In that sense, when it comes to illness and sickness, the question is not whether we will receive healing, but when. So if the sermon title resonated with you, "Will Jesus Ever Heal Me?" the answer, I'm pleased to say, for the believer, is yes. Yes, for some, the healing may be granted here and now. And it would be a wrong interpretation of the Bible to say Jesus never heals today. Many, many times he has healed us and our loved ones in this life. But sometimes the healing is withheld for the next life. But one thing is sure, all those in Christ will be healed eventually. One day we will all be completely set free from sickness and sadness and suffering and death. So realize he sometimes withholds healing. But thirdly, rise and serve in response to healing. Remember, Jesus can bring healing. Realize he sometimes withholds healing. Thirdly, rise and serve in response to healing. Look at Peter's mother-in-law, how she responded to her healing. Verse 15, he touched her hand, the fever left her. And a little phrase, and she rose and began to serve him. She rose and began to serve Jesus. She responded to her healing by ministering to the Master. In all probability, this involved hospitality of some kind, preparing food, offering them a bed for the night, looking after them, taking care of them, whatever was necessary. She spontaneously, naturally, begins to serve Christ. As we think of responding to divine healing ourselves, friends, here's our model. This is how we want to respond. We can't even begin to number the countless times the Lord has brought healing, a measure of healing into our lives, and how often we've taken it for granted. When we've been so poorly, so terribly unwell, a death's door perhaps some of us, and he's revived us, restored us. This is how we respond. Maybe your situation just now isn't good. Keep looking to him. Keep praying to him. He may yet heal. And this is how you will want to respond. As those who have been saved for life and eternity, friends, we've been made beneficiaries of spiritual healing and cleansing. And this is how we want to respond. We don't want to be like the 9 lepers who didn't return to thank the Lord having been healed. Healing always, always comes to us as a blessing from God. And we ought always to give thanks to him for it. And in Peter's mother-in-law, we have a beautiful expression of how to respond. She rose and began to serve. Shouldn't that be our pattern? Shouldn't that be our pattern? We can't do it literally, of course, because Christ isn't physically here in our homes. We can't show him hospitality as such. But we can minister to his people, can't we? That's the same. That's the same. Jesus later in Matthew was saying to a crowd, Matthew 25, 35 to 40, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous answered him, Lord, when did all this happen? We don't remember doing this for you. And Jesus said, the king will answer them. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. Do you see, what's done out of love for Christ's people is considered as done out of love for Christ. So ask yourself, what can I do with the health Christ has blessed me with? Rise up and serve him. After all, that's what a soul touched by the grace of God does. It doesn't need urge to do what needs to be done. Service is the natural path for saved sinners. When's the last time you asked the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my sphere of service here? Where are my natural opportunities? This woman was concerned about what she could do for Christ, about what she could do for others, about what she could do to advance the gospel. And so it should be for us. What are you doing with the measure of health he has so graciously given to you? Rise up and serve him.